I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we will drink and toast to the weekend with a shout of the day. There's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on. And today, a Metallica Labor Day weekend inspired Bad Choice Friday with the one and only Richard Cheese.
Bum, 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 bum.
But they do that tonight.
Richard Cheese and Inner Sandman taking on the one and only Pat Boone on a Bad Choice Friday.
Exit lights. Enter night. Take my hand.
Come on.
We're off to never, never land.
Pat Boone, Inner Sandman, taking on Richard Cheese and Inner Sandman. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast with the shot of the day. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Our question when it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Robbie. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo!
Hey. So, me and my older brother, AJ, we're about 2 years apart. He's my older brother. I already mentioned that. We've had a long history of talking to each other in our sleep, mainly when we are growing up and everything. We've talked to each other in our sleep. My parents have been freaked out about it.
Yeah, I'd be a little disturbed by that myself. But because you're not just talking in your sleep. You guys are actually having a conversation with each other, but you are asleep.
Yeah, where you can listen and understand what's being said and respond.
Exactly. Like, it's you know, obviously, I mean, I was asleep. I wasn't there for it, so I couldn't tell you what was said, but my parents have told me numerous times that you guys are talking to each other.
But you never said what were we talking about?
That's exactly. I'd have to ask my parents about that, but we were it was gibberish.
Okay. Do you still talk in your sleep now? Have you ever had a girlfriend or whoever say, man, you talk a lot when you're sleeping?
It's more so song logs, but there has been a time or two, yes, where I've said some random stuff.
Yeah, I have too. It's not on the regular. I'm asleep, so I'm not sure. But from and also, you know, I need to wake you up by talking, and sometimes probably that didn't happen. But either way, really?
What'd you just say?
Yeah, I was like, what was I talking about? Like, I don't know.
I was fine.
Is it English?
When you wrap between my wife and my son, more than anyone else in my life. Like, you walk into the room, I think that I woke them up because they're talking to you. And then I realize you're actually dead asleep because my wife would be like, can you just put it back in the car? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, the spider that was in the refrigerator, just take him out and put it in the car. I don't know why it's such a big deal. And I'm like, wow, I'm even getting admonished while you're unconscious. And then she'll fall back asleep. And I'm just like, good Lord.
My cousin and I, we were about to take a long road trip, and so he came down to me and my folks' place, and he spent the night in my room and in my bed that night. And middle of the night, I wake up. It's like 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden, I hear my cousin say, put your hands up. I'm like, whatever. So I just sleepily put my hands up. And I sat there for had to be 2 minutes, dude, just waiting for, you know, I figure he needs covers, he needs whatever it is, but he doesn't do anything. And finally, I just said, dude, why'd you have me put my hands up? Doesn't say a doggone word. Alec, why'd you have me put my hands up? It's like, doggone it. He was in the military. He was going out to be military police, so he was probably just having a dream that he was sticking somebody up.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would make sense.
We used to do it to my mom all the time. Same thing. Like, she'd fall asleep on the couch or whatever, and, like, we thought it was hilarious. Like, Mom, Big Taco's here. Can they come in? Yeah, sure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let the taco in. Right? You're like, as a kid, though, it just seems so funny.
Yes. Our Sandman-inspired question. When it comes to sleep, win or wear made it memorable. 206-803-ROCK. There's a whole theme to today's show.
Oh, yeah. Smooth.
Yeah. That's how we operate.
That's right. That's not smooth like butter. That's smooth like margarine.
It is, baby. Once we realize there's a coincidence, we like to take responsibility.
We might even play Metallica every song.
Oh,
every
man.
Song. Yeah. And that maybe for bad choice.
I demand it.
Uh-huh. And then I bet you we can get them to play a show tonight.
Or two. You never
or
know.
Or two. You know, take Saturday off, come back Sunday. Come on, make people happy.
When it comes to sleep, win or wear made it memorable. 206-803-ROCK.
I wish you get wild. Maybe play a Pantera song.
Ooh, we can do that. Yeah. We did earlier, and I'm like, I looked at Mike, and I'm like, man, we haven't played this song in a hot minute. It's like they're opening tonight.
To be honest
like,
with you, we almost had Zach Wilde in.
That was supposed to be
just
today.
It just didn't happen. Scheduling thing. He couldn't make it, but either way... 15 years ago, we had Zach Wilde in, and it was probably one of the most unique and just crazy shows we've ever done as a show together. We walked out of there just like, wow.
Speaking of falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fell asleep in the kitchen. Castle had the manager says, go in and wake Zach Wilde off the floor in the kitchen. And they closed the door so he could sleep.
Yeah.
And Ryan's like, F you. I'm not going to go in there. That's your guy.
Yeah.
You get his ass off the floor and take him to El Corazon. And so I think they both went in, kind of woke him up. He gets up like nothing happened, probably 10-minute power nap.
I think it was longer than 10 minutes, bro.
Maybe it was longer than that.
He was out for a while. Because remember, the whole thing was he was going to do the interview, then walk over to El Corazon and start, you know, signing autographs or whatever.
Yeah.
He was in there asleep so long. Like, El Corazon is packed. And there's just a few of us over there. And there was definitely a period where it was like, is he going to get up?
Right.
Well, Castle kept texting us like, we need you to run interference. I'm like, look, man, we can keep lying to people, but at some point they're getting restless, okay? Because a couple technical things. Oh, he's cutting some crap for the radio station. None of this was true, but we couldn't just say, look, he is passed the F out in our kitchen floor, and no one knows if we can wake his ass up.
Long hammer IPAs for 3.5 hours before we get to this point.
But they finally got him up. Dude rolls over to Elko, and I want to say it's maybe 45 minutes late. I don't think it was quite an hour, but it was...
It was somewhere. It was to the point where it was like, is this going to happen?
Honestly didn't think of it. But when he showed up at El Corazon, he was just there to sign autographs. Mm-hmm. Well, he made a decision in that moment. That's not what he feels like doing. So one of the most rock star moments I've seen, there was some cover band that's supposed to play that night. Zach looks on stage, basically walks up to the guitar player and does not say, can I play your guitar? It's like, give me your guitar, man. And this guy was more than happy to hand it to Zach Wilde. He looks at the rest of the band. I don't remember the first song he played, but he goes, do you guys know how to play? Blah.
No. You got to remember, there's not a band there. The equipment's there. He starts pulling people out of the crowd.
Yes, to play.
Can you play this instrument? All right, get up here and play with me.
Yeah.
Right? The mistress of booze who works with us.
We never knew she could sing.
Get up here and sing a song. Can like, he just started doing his own thing. And I got to reiterate to people, I don't know if you've ever seen Zach Wilde like in person. He is a large man.
He's a big dude.
So part of the issue with waking him up is like he's hammered.
Yep.
He's passed out. Is he going to wake up angry?
And that's what Castle didn't want to do. But yeah, this dude went over, walked up on stage, created a band in five minutes, and then shredded. But the looks on everyone's face playing with him was like, oh my God, I'm playing with Zach Wilde, which had to be the coolest experience ever. I thought it was awesome to watch.
But he was acting, he was absolutely, like he snapped out of it.
They were like, 10 minutes ago, he was blacked the F out. You would have never known, man.
And by the way, they had scheduled about 4 or 5 of these appearances where Zach was going to go around. I'm not sure if they... I want to say it was like they were launching a new signature, like BLS guitar, Black Label Society, or a Zach Wilde guitar, whatever the deal was. He had that signed. He was giving one of those away. Blah, 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 blah. They were supposed to go to like St. Louis after Seattle.
Yeah.
Right then and there, they canceled that tour.
Yeah.
They canceled the radio promotional tour.
We were only the second one. He did Portland the day before, and I don't know how that went. And he was a disaster, but it was still brilliant in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the big issue was, dude's asleep and no one can wake his ass up.
And he got on, so he goes in the side studio because there's a keyboard in there. All right. So for the most part, he was in the studio with us. And it was our temporary studio at the time. He goes down the hallway because he's going to, so we have him all wired in and he's going to play the piano. So he starts going into this thing. I wander down the hallway because I hear like, and he starts crying.
Yep.
It was weird.
I looked in. He looked like Greg Allman.
Right.
And he's playing like Greg Allman. He's playing blues. And whatever song he was singing was, you know, it was a heavy song. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, man, we are in trouble now. I don't even know how the hell we get out of this. Because we completely abandoned a format for the show just so Zach could do his thing.
And I don't think he finished the piano song, if I remember correctly.
No, he ends up quitting it. But I'll be honest with you, I was running the board. Like, we'd gone to commercial break before that happened. Because he was not keeping it together well. And there was gaps of silence and curse words.
So actually, we were looking forward to seeing Zach again just to see if he just
remembers any of this.
Yeah.
Well, and one more thing.
Or he's telling him a story for the first time.
Right.
Besides the fact he fell asleep and passed out at work, I think the other reason that he got in trouble and stopped doing those was, remember, he was very open about stories about drinking with Ozzy, who was supposed to be sober.
Yeah.
It was that story. Like the
timeline, timeline of Ozzy being quote unquote sober versus what Zach is telling us is like, I thought like Ozzy was sober, and Zach, he says that for Sharon.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It was all Sharon. So every time you see Zach up on stage with Ozzy or not, it's just dependent on whether Sharon
has allowed it
that those two are going to go off and start doing their thing. So that's basically it. Like,
according to him, the reason he's not playing with Ozzy anymore, it wasn't an issue with Ozzy or him, but he said he and Ozzy were quote unquote toxic twins.
Yeah.
So they would do drugs together, they get drunk together, and, you know, just, and Ozzy's health was affected a lot more than Zach's, but basically Sharon's like, Ozzy, listen, man, I understand this is your boy, but like, when you guys go on tour, if it's a 270 day tour out of the year, you were drunk and high for 270 days. Like, you can't do it anymore. But Ozzy's just like, that's what we do. Yeah. So finally, Sharon, it's according to Zach, and said she was very professional, but it's like, we got to let you go, man. You're going to end up killing my husband.
When you got the sweaty hug, Key Arena, didn't he fall backwards on stage and someone had to come and pick him up, but he kept on playing? It was kind of like, and this is a big man.
Yeah, so, the story is, right, like, I'm going to do the stager for In This Moment was opening.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the stager. So Castle and I are just kind of like that weird little part where it's like, we're there early. It's not time to talk to this. So we're just kind of chilling in this one random spot, and Zach Wilde walks by. By the way, he's been sober since 09 now.
Yeah.
And we just yell, Castle's like, Zach, and he comes over and he hugs us. And then as he walks away, Castle just goes, why is his beard wet? And he's kind of famous. So that's that story. And then, later that night during Ozzy's set,
he's got beer in it.
He fell over. Like, he kept playing, but they, picked him back up. And, like, look, I don't know. I probably could maybe notice now, but I don't know music enough. But, like, there was a couple people that were like, you can tell he's missing stuff.
Oh, yeah. And another funny part of that story, if you've never heard the story before, is, so Zach comes up.
Dad, I do love that guy, though.
I know. You can't not like him.
Mike, I'm telling you, it sounds insane, but he honestly, like, he's a big, giant, scary guy, but, I mean, heart of gold.
Oh, my God. The nicest guy in the world. He comes in with this huge-ass gym bag. All right, it does have some BLS merchandise in it. Like, I mean, he gave me one of my favorite sweatshirts until my daughter took it and lost it.
I still got mine, man.
Black Label Society.
That hoodie is awesome. Hoodie. You get respect in that thing.
Yeah, man, he got hats, all this stuff, and he comes in with his manager, who we really didn't talk to too much, and then the two guys that he was with, and we all go in the studio, and they're standing behind us the entire time.
And they're quiet, they're out of the way.
Yeah.
They're just in the room.
Yeah, they're very nice guys. So they're just kind of observing the interview and observing the entire show from the back. And then at some point in time, I don't remember when it was during the broadcast, but somebody goes, hey, man, what's your name? Whatever. We introduce ourselves to the two guys. And they're like, dude, we just met him in the elevator. We were just going to say hi to him. He said, come on up.
Yeah.
So just two random fans.
That we thought they were his handlers.
Outside of the building. Yeah. So they've been standing there the entire time watching this stuff.
I think that's how it came up, because when things started coming apart and you realize, like, okay, he's not like, hey, guys, do you want to handle this or what should we say? And they're like, hey, listen, man, we don't even know the guy. He just invited us up here. We're like, are you for real? Yeah. I was like, good on you, man, because you guys are handling this perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not getting away. You're not saying anything. And they got to watch this incredible meltdown.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a memory.
That was one of those days where you're just like, man, there's so many layers to everything. And he kept handing us the Longhammer IPAs from Red Hook, which was a strong beer at the time.
Oh yeah.
And he would pop him open with his ring, and then he would kiss the ring.
Kiss the top.
Yeah. And then he would hand you another beer. And to be honest with you, we were for the most part, we were going beer for beer with him, but he'd obviously had some before that.
Yeah, he had a head start. Yeah,
exactly. Those guys, I mean, look, right, because me and Ben were talking to those guys during the break. So we knew, but like, they physically, I think, helped him up the stairs at our old work.
Oh, really?
Right. So that's when it was like, by the time he got up there, okay, so nobody really noticed. Right, so like the first commercial break, they're like, I was like, shut up, hang out.
Yeah. He's going to be okay. When it comes to, but we are still going to try to get Zach Wild on. Mike, because you said he's got something else coming up, so maybe we can get him on the phone or do a Zoom or whatever.
Well, you know, as soon as I hear back, I'll let you guys know.
Okay. When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Can't imagine him not wanting to come on the show.
Yeah, well, he probably doesn't remember being on the first time.
Do you think he does? I don't think he would.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to tell him the story for the first time.
Yeah. I don't think he would have any recollection of this at all.
Yeah.
He might remember.
I love the story, but do you think he wants to hear it?
You know what?
We're leaving out the worst of the details now. So, I mean, we would leave some of those out. But basically, we got drunk. You got drunker. I won't bring up the fact that you cried on the piano because that's not a good look for anyone. But then pass the hell out in the kitchen.
I think once you get past that and you realize, look, there's a reason I quit drinking. I don't think that you look back. I mean, you might look back with some remorse on certain things.
But for the most part,
Duff's been sober forever, right? Yeah. But if someone came up to you and go, Duff, I remember the time we were partying, you'd be like, oh man, good memories. That sounds pretty messed up. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
For that time. When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Barb. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I was riding my motorcycle home from work on a sunny afternoon. I fell asleep 4 times in 1 trip and didn't go off the road and didn't crash. Woke up right as I got to the shoulder of the road, 50 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. Four times?
That didn't scare you enough to just pull over?
It wasn't really a road you could pull over on.
Okay.
It was, it scared me enough when I got home. I just wiped my brow and went, man.
Oh, your brow.
Yeah. Just a long shift, no sleep? What was the reason for that?
I've had sleep troubles all my life. I was a sleepwalker as a kid and, fall asleep in the manager's office one time waiting for a meeting. Fell asleep waiting for an airplane. Some total stranger said he'd been shaking me for 10 minutes to wake me up.
So you've always had, have you had any medical thing checked out on this? Or are you just like, look, man, this is just the way it is?
I called for a sleep study the next day, I think. And they said I changed levels of sleep from REM to non-REM. Normally, I think it's like 6 to 12 times a night people do it. I said like 200 times.
Have you ever found yourself with the refrigerator open eating during your sleepwalking?
No.
Okay. Where's the oddest place you found yourself after a sleepwalk?
Well, usually that was as a kid, so my mom would find me.
Ah, okay.
And we had balconies that were on the second story. And so she would, like, put chairs and things in front of them. So that's when you go jump off the balcony when I was sleeping.
I woke up with a spoon of peanut butter on the side of my head one morning. I'm not kidding you. It was stuck to the side of me. The spoon with the peanut butter in it. I must have taken it upstairs. I was eating it when I was asleep because of sleepy. And somehow it got wherever I laid over, wherever I rolled over. It was stuck to the side, like right near where my, right by my ear.
Yeah.
Or my, whatever they're called.
Temple?
Whatever.
Cheek?
But what do you call these things? These brow things? Not the sideburns.
The temple.
Sideburns, yeah.
Oh, right, your side. Yeah.
Stuck in the sideburn, but it was like crunchy.
That's a long way to go to come up with sideburns.
I don't remember sideburns.
Like sideburns,
they
temple.
Haven't been in style
you keep
for so
pointing
long.
At the spot.
What do you call
temple?
That damn thing? I used to do it back in the 90210 days.
Yeah. Was it actually in the sideburn hair?
Yes. It was crunchy peanut butter, and the whole spoon was stuck to the side of my head, because I'm like, what is this?
Was that the last time that you had peanut butter in your house, Miles?
These are some of the steps that has been taken to make me not have peanut butter in my home. And I tried to cheat the other day and do almond butter, but it was too good. I didn't realize how good almond butter
is. It's still hilarious to me that you're actually afraid to have peanut butter in your house because you're
terrified. I'm afraid I'm going to choke and die.
You're going to choke and die.
I'm not afraid that I'll get up and sleep eat it. I just know that it just won't last.
Oh, no. Peanut butter
does not last. It's like, I'll just take a spoonful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have another spoonful. Then it's like, all right, fatty, we just ate a whole, like, what? We just ate all the goddamn peanut butter.
Can't you just have, like, some emergency milk in the fridge, Miles?
No, because I'll drink it.
I will drink the milk.
That's kind of the point.
I know that.
That's why you want
the
milk.
That's why I don't keep either one of them in the house.
Kind of like you're, you know, what do they call
it? It's poison.
Emergency drug.
It's poison. When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Here's a fun one. Man miraculously survived after falling asleep on the railroad tracks and getting struck by a train. The man survived, but was not unscathed. Rescue workers for almost 2 hours tried to free his left hand as it got entangled in the axle.
Ooh.
Now, the train, fortunately, was slow moving. Authorities said the incident happened at the Ann Arbor Railroad tracks on Monday. Freight train ran over the 20-year-old man. However, he became injured due to the train. His left hand was in the rear axle. It was pinned between the wheel axle and wheel gear. Due to the patient's location, combined with the strength of the metal of this part of the locomotive, extrication efforts were incredibly challenging. As the incident approached the one-hour mark, they drove out the flight crew from the survival flight along with the surgical team to prepare for a possible field amputation.
Jeez.
An on-site amputation. There was limited access, and all of that is really significant metal, so a lot of our normal tools and techniques do not work for something that extraordinary. There's no lifting that locomotive. However, they kept trying to free the man. Fortunately, they didn't have to amputate the man's hand after all, and they later took him to a hospital after falling asleep on the railroad tracks. When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola!
So, I was about 20 years old, and I was working a shutdown on a mine. I had worked 4 weeks of 7/16s. I got laid off, and apparently I went back to my trailer and fell asleep. I don't remember this, but I do remember waking up 5 days later in the hospital.
What the hell happened?
I drove off a cliff. Broke my back in three places. I got seven plates in my head. Lost 50% of my right lung. I actually, that was the second time I actually was clinically dead. So, yeah, it's okay.
Wow. What kind of mine did you work in?
It was in Arizona, so we were working the copper mines. I worked as a contractor, so we were rebuilding the crusher and the converter aisle for the mine.
So were you actually in the mine when you were working, correct? As a job?
Yeah, we were working in the mine, like I said, building structure. I'm the guy that hangs up in the air and hangs all the steel like the Brooklyn guys.
Is there an equivalent to black lung in a copper mine? You know, like in West Virginia, just the dust and everything. With your one good lung, is there something out like metal fragments in the air, or is there anything that could?
It, kind of, you get more of the copper byproducts, like the molybdenum and other like lime and stuff like that.
Do people try to break into that mine to steal the copper? Like they would, you know, an electrical box or, you know.
No, because the majority of that stuff, the copper that they actually will produce looks like a T-shirt, like a big, thick T-shirt. And those weigh about 4,000 pounds each.
So that's straight ore, correct?
Yeah, straight ore. But then they smelt it and process it. And
that's what it becomes.
You know, they say whoever smelted, dealted. Hey, how long?
I was going to say, I know, Miles, you're right. The coal mines are the worst. But, like, I just feel like if you work in a mine, there's some health risk.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nick, so you wake up 5 days later, your back's broken, you got plates in your head. How long was your recovery?
I actually walked out of the hospital 19 days later, and the doctors are still amazed that I'm actually able to continue working. I actually work for a company now where I actually do installations of stuff in the air as well.
Okay.
I've been doing that for 23 years since I broke my back.
Couple more questions. What kind of vehicle were you driving?
95 Nissan pickup.
Okay.
That's not a very large vehicle.
Right. Like a Frontier, I guess, that time?
It's before the Frontier models really came out.
All right. And, did you ever go back to look either over the hillside or where they found your vehicle just to see where all this went down?
Yeah, I did. It actually, it took them 4 hours to find me initially, because what happened is I drove off the cliff. Like I said, I don't remember any of this, but all I'm being told this is that I fell asleep. My left front tire broke off from the guardrail that I went through. And that's the only reason that they knew a vehicle was down at that point.
All right.
I flew out of the back window of the truck, and the only thing that saved my life was not wearing my seatbelt, because I would have been crushed to death, and I would have never made it.
So the fact that you got thrown out of the vehicle is actually what saved your life?
Yeah, and like I said, they found me about 200 feet away, upside down in a tree, bleeding out.
Jesus.
And it took about 4 hours to find me.
Damn.
Aren't you glad you don't remember any of that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it is what it is.
It's amazing you're still alive, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good. I amaze people every day when I work, and they're like, I don't even have an answer. I can't complain about pain now.
Yeah.
So, but you said, so one of your lungs, you lost how much capacity in it?
15%, because my ribs went through it and collapsed it.
Is that a permanent thing? Like, it's so to this day, it's only 85% capacity?
Yes.
And right. Can you tell? I mean, like, what's something that you can do where you instantly go, like, right, the lungs aren't working 100%?
Well, working a lot in the mine still after that happened and everything, you have to take a respirator fit test. And a lot of that is a lot of hard breathing that you have to breathe out all of your air and breathing in and stuff. And holding up you have to hold a ball up in the air in a tube for a certain amount of times. And yeah, I can tell that.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that does not happen to me. Good God, man. Damn. Drove off a cliff, got thrown out of the truck, and was found upside down in a tree bleeding out.
I feel pretty confident it's not going to happen to you.
I'm confident it won't, but you know, I bet you up until it happened, he was confident that wouldn't happen either.
Yeah.
And I think we're confident about most things not happening to us until they do. You know, like, I don't worry about crossing the street, but one day, when I get hit by a car, I don't be worried about crossing the street.
I know a lot more people that have been hit by cars.
Sure.
Than I do that have
thrown out of a vehicle
and drove off a cliff. I'm saying, like, his is pretty... Like, look, I fell off a back balcony, right?
Yeah.
And then ended up cracking my head open. Like, I feel confident saying the three of you won't fall off a balcony.
No. Not after that, man.
When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola!
Hola!
Yeah, for me, it happened in 1989. I was in the Army, and I was in basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. We were on our way to rifle training, and they packed us like sardines in this cattle truck, and it was a long trip, so I fell asleep standing up.
Damn. Wow. I've never fallen asleep standing up. I've seen people do it downtown, but I'm pretty sure they're on heroin.
Yeah, I was definitely sober.
That is impressive. Okay. Is it just because you were that tightly packed in there?
Well, I think I was extremely tired, too.
Yeah, I would say that.
But, I mean, not to, like, fall either way.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty packed in there.
Yeah, you could not fall.
I wish I could sleep like that. I would service a man. I would service a man to be able to take a nap on a plane.
You really can't sleep on a plane.
No, I can't sleep sitting up. It's just, there's something about it. I just can't do it.
I mean, I generally can't. But like after long trip, like you were sleeping on the way back from Germany.
Well, again, it takes a 13-hour flight to make it happen.
Right, that's the unfortunate part of it. There is extreme cases,
a point, yes.
Right, where you're just like that tired or whatever. Like I've done like sometimes after those tailgate trips where you just party and having fun for 2 or 3 days, same thing. Then it's like, I could sleep on this flight.
I can't remember if we were flying either cross country or flying to England or whatever, but my wife's giving me a hard time because I'm just power downing Jack Daniels, right, at the airport bar. She's like, it's expensive. I said, just trust me on this, all right? So we get on the plane, and I pass out before the plane takes. She's like, basically, you put on your seatbelt, and you fell asleep. It's a long-ass flight. I woke up when the plane landed.
That is awesome.
And I felt refreshed. And she was like, dude, you slept the entire flight. I said, remember why I was drinking all that Jack Daniels? I was not looking forward to this flight. It's a long-ass flight. Everybody hates being on a plane for that long anyway. I'm like, my thought was, just get super drunk, but before you start acting the fool, you know, just let your body absorb it, man. Pass the hell out. I was only mildly hungover, but I said, honest to God, that is why I did this. Because it's not like I was cutting up at the bar or anything. I'm just like, yeah, I'll take another one.
I'm pretty sure the flight landed a red-eye at 6, and I might have fallen asleep at 5:15 kind of thing, on the descent. And I do remember being the last person on the plane, and the steward woke me up and basically was physically shaking my shoulder and said, sir, you got to get up. You have to get off the plane now. The plane has landed. And when I got up, man, they had people in there vacuuming.
People
were cleaning. Dude, they get on there pretty damn quick once the last person gets off.
Yeah, because they start boarding right away. And that was the thing, like, get the hell off the plane. I was like, wow, man, I'm out.
Were you drunk or just sleeping?
It was a red eye. I mean,
red
eye, like, they come by once, maybe, or maybe twice, depending on the length of the flight. But, I mean, they're not, like,
they keep it kind of quiet.
Yeah, it's like, maybe you get one drink, and then, you know, good luck for the rest of the night. But I was like, I'm fine, I'm up. And right before we landed, I fell asleep. It's like, Jesus.
That's the worst time to fall asleep.
I know.
That's the move my daughter pulls. Every flight, we'll fly across the country, and my son goes out instantly. He's like, yeah, good night. My daughter, she'll be awake. She's drawing. She's listening to music. And I swear to God, once they say, hey, we're making our final approach to name the city. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because then you're a nightmare to wake up.
Right.
Yeah. Like, can you just fall asleep early? Why do you do this on our final descent?
When it comes to sleep, when or where made it memorable? 206-803-ROCK.
Every time, dude.
Nah, look, I'm with you. I love red eyes, but, like, I have a standard rule because I'm bad at sleeping on planes. Right? Yeah. I'm like, wherever I get there, just like, listen, just I'm going to need 2 or 3 hours just to sleep a little bit, and then I'll be fine.
We did fly into Delaware this time. We landed in Philly, and we booked a hotel. We had to pay for the night, but we got to the hotel at, say, 7:15. We were gone by 11:15. Just like, because the guy's even looking at us like, wait a minute, I thought you guys booked this last night. I said, right, because I understand how this works, but we just need to sleep, man. So the whole family, we went into this little-ass room. Everybody asked out for a couple hours, but it's exactly what we needed.
Yeah.
More money than I would have liked to spend, but it was worth it.
And that allows you to keep up with that day.
Yes, that is very important. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Yeah, man. Positive Friday.
Positive Friday. So, this was back in the 90s. I was in college and going to school full-time. I was working full-time, and I was kind of partying hard, as college students are, you know, want to do. And one night, I was just wrapping up a late shift, and my girlfriend at the time rang me up and said, you know, hey, why don't you come over? And I thought to myself, well, I can... You know, I'm tired, but I can.
But
rally.
I want some booty.
Yeah, you're still hoarding.
Yeah.
So
never too tired for butt. Say it loud, say it proud,
say with chest.
Well, okay.
You know what? Throw get that tattoo.
Hold that
yeah.
Butt.
Never too tired for butt. Getting that on my forehead.
Go ahead, sir. Continue your story.
Well, so I head out and. I get to her place, and one thing leads to another, and she starts giving me a mouth hug. And then I wake up about 2 hours later getting the stare down with the arms crossed. Like, oh, welcome back.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe she should have been better at it.
Yeah.
At your mouth.
Hey-o.
That's the age of life where sometimes you're up for two or three days at a time, depending on what's going on.
I mean, look, man.
Party, whatever.
Like, so I fell asleep canyon yodeling. Same thing, man. I mean, and she did too. So, but when I woke up the following morning, and it's the weird thing when you wake up, and we were hammered, but you wake up, and I'm like, I am not on a pillow. I'm on a vagina. That's one. This is my girlfriend. She's assed out too, right? It's like, oh my God, but I have to get up and go to work. Brush my teeth real quick, change my clothes, run into work, get there on time, and everyone's just looking at me, man. And I'm like, how would anyone know what has happened last night? They're like, dude, what is that on your head? And her little pubic pouch was like embedded in my forehead like somebody punched me with an SOS bat. And
it
was an open kitchen.
With you? Like, did you have just one little curlicue in there?
No, it was like the full, you know, but I mean, it's like right in the center of my forehead. And I'm like, so when people ask what that is, I explained it, and everyone's like, we believe you, because that is the dumbest thing I've heard. I'm like, I wish I had a better reason,
I
man.
This, but, yeah. I was just saying, but, dude, like, you're coming home, like, especially, like you were saying, like, that guy, like, college age, like, you're probably hammered, right? Like, you're not running on a ton of sleep, but it's like, oh, we should definitely hook up. It's like, you're both tired.
Have you guys ever heard of pubic baldness that's, you know, involuntary?
Involuntary pubic, not having
like pubic alopecia.
Where you start losing your hair down there. Have you ever heard of that before?
No,
because
no.
Somebody in our office has it.
Once
a week in the urinal, man, you go in there and go like, dude, what? How did you lose all that?
Yeah,
that is it's like a tuft
in the urinal.
Yes.
Are they picking them out?
I don't know.
What goes on in the tall urinal?
I don't know. Those green stuff
over in our short guy urinal.
You haven't seen this. There was green drops on it yesterday.
Oh my God.
What?
No, I did see
you
that.
You did see that, okay.
Yeah. Only because, right, Mike was like, you got to see that. Like, I was like, I'm not a big, like, puker or whatever. That was one of the few times I was like,
that's I went in there to pee, and it was like a couple of dribbles on top. I go into the office, I was like, Miles, I go, look, man, I don't know who it is. Somebody's not doing it, okay? Like, is green.
They've got to, I am banking on, this is what I told Mike yesterday, like, they have a medical condition and they know it.
I hope.
If that color is not normal.
No, they got a medical condition. I just hope they know.
I'm trying to identify this person through color as far as the pubic loss.
Yeah.
Like I look around, stare at people real strange now. Like,
you don't think it's just Castle's beard?
No, because he'll do that intentionally. He even said he'll just rip out tufts of his beard and throw it on the urinal.
Sometimes I don't mean to, but when I stroke mine, a hair falls out. I don't know, man. I'm over the short urinal, so that's on.
Hey, there's a lot of
you got tall guys.
That big one, it's like, you remember the fuzzy things people used to buy for the top of the toilet? It's like they're trying to recreate that for the urinal.
That's right. Still to come, the shot of the day, and we've got the return of Ted versus the FCC coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.